the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
But I assure you, you are not where you used to be. I assure you. You know, sometimes Satan blinds our eyes so that we don't see what God is doing. And then opens our eyes to the things we are yet to see manifest. That devil is a liar. We will count our blessings. We will open our eyes to see what the Lord has done. To see what the Lord is doing. Even though our physical eyes cannot see it. And we will stand in His house and give Him praise. We will stand in His house and give Him worship. We will stand in His house and give Him adoration. We will stand in His house and bless His holy name. Because listen, I don't care who you are here this morning. There's something about you that is worth thanking God for. Do I have a witness in the house? There's something about you that is worth thanking God for. There's something about your family that is worth thanking God for. There's something about your marriage about you thanking God for. The songwriter says, I've learned to count my blessings. And I've learned victories. Little victories. Amen. Little victories. You know, last week we paid for the other hall. Amen. And amen. It's in seven figures. Amen. And number one, nothing. Nothing. And you know, I was there with First Lady yesterday when they were clearing it and doing that. And my heart went out in thanksgiving, in joy. And I was telling them the story of how, listen, you know, in 2013, late 2013, we're in one very small place in Minor Hotel. I sent, where's Pastor G? Pastor Godwin. To go and look for a big hall where we're stretching our faith. So he came here. He went to that hall, which is cheaper than this one. He went to that hall, and by the time he told me how much I told him to get out of that place and be coming, who is going to give that kind of money? My heart couldn't take it. Our heart couldn't take it. Is somebody listening? That should be late to 14. I mean, late to 13, early to 14. We're just about 2 years in ministry. Amen. They're called the millions, and then our heart couldn't take it. I just didn't forget about it. We'll stay here. God will open another door. To cut the story short, in less than 2 years, we'll move to a bigger place, which is here. You know, this facility is bigger than that one. We moved here, and then we didn't just move here, we have taken that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is little compared to where we are going. But I have learned to celebrate my little victories. Tap your neighbor, tell them, have you learned to celebrate your little victories? Have you learned to celebrate your little victories? Hey! Hey! Is somebody here? Hold on. Hold on. Now, what I'm saying is very important. We got here as a young ministry by celebrating our little victories. We never despise the days of little beginning. Are you listening? You know, when people call from everywhere, from Europe, from America, from all over the country, that they listen to our materials, it blesses them. Oh, great ministry. I'm serious. So people listen to our messages in Europe, in America, and all across this country. I mean, we receive the testimonies and we see what the Lord is doing in the city and in our churches. Our heart is filled with gratitude. The fact remains that our visions are high. We know exactly what the Lord told us. But what I'm saying is, no matter where you are, you learn to celebrate your little victories. Remember the first time someone gave 200,000 to our ministry as a seed? We celebrated. We're excited. No, he said that by 50,000. It was the second week after we started church. And some people came visiting and they gave us a check of 50,000 naira. Say, your ministry, 50,000 naira. We're excited. We're excited. Did somebody listen? Yes, we're excited. From there, somebody gave 100,000 or so. We're excited. We received 200,000. We're excited. Yes, until God, the place of receiving seed, M. Are you listening? So no matter where you are right now, it may be headache you laid hands on and God healed. It may be 20,000 naira. Listen, 10,000 naira, 5,000, even 1,000 naira that somebody gave to you that you did not work for. And he gave to you by favor. Learn to celebrate it. Because in that celebration is the key to what you desire. Somebody listen to me. No, University of Jos is on break and church is full, and we're expecting more people to come this morning. Before, whenever University of Jos goes on break, just imagine. Glory to God. People are graduating. You know that somebody come and say, have you started pastoring adults yet? I'm paraphrasing. You know, people are funny. Amen. I say, what's the definition of an adult? Is not 18 and above? So the young students and pastoring, are they not adults? Are we no adults? Glory to God. And God spoke to my heart. Listen. God spoke to my heart. Listen. Are you listening to me? God spoke to my heart. He says, I have given you an anointing to raise the Davids of your generation. I know who the Davids are. How old was David when he solved the national issue? 17. No, I can't hear you. How old was David when he solved a national issue? Listen, but King Saul and the whole Israeli Defense Academy could not solve. How old was he? 17. If we take average age here, we are all like 99% of us here above 17. That means we are the answer. The answers to the questions that this generation is asking. That means we are old enough to provide solutions. We are old enough to stand out. We are old enough to be consulted. Is somebody listening to me? We are old enough to step out and say, here, I have the solution. And they are not just talking empty. You are bringing something to the table. That is the way we're making. As Jesus prayed, praying so much, you must believe that we are the answer. I believe that we've been so dead to the God forevermore. Tap your neighbor, lead this. Come your down, you're right. Tell them, welcome to church this morning. The hand of the Lord is ready. Amen. Welcome to five persons around you. Five persons, greet them, see them in handshake, and tell them his hand is ready upon you. Amen. God. Glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We gone sweeping through the city when the rivers can drown no more. Some days we're gonna sit down at the bank of the river, Lord. Amen.
I'll be back.
All right, let's get into God's word. Hallelujah. First, Second Peter chapter one. Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. That anointing is upon me. Are you there? Second Peter, chapter number one. Levrosisto paniga samante boaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's word is God's answer. Hallelujah. And that's what everyone should go for. Everyone who needs help. Everyone who needs answers. Everyone who wants to go very fast. That is what you should go for. The word of God. Hallelujah. You know, we can never overemphasize the importance of God's word. The importance of God's word. The necessity and the importance of God's word in the heart of a believer. Without the word of God in your heart, as a Christian, all you have is a religion. That's all you have. Without the word of God in your heart, as a believer, all you have is a religion. And when life comes asking you questions, you will not have answers. I say that with a lot of responsibility and heaviness in my heart. Because you see, I've seen Christians suffer what they ought not to suffer. I've seen Christians being stranded, being overwhelmed by the vicissitudes of life, as we call it. Why? Because when life came asking questions, they didn't have answers. I don't want you to be like that. I don't care how much you love God. I don't care how nice you look. I don't care how religious you look and sound. If you don't have the word of God in your spirit, the word of the Lord that you have personalized, that you have imbibed, the word of the Lord that you have taken a hold of, without that word in your spirit, life will always come asking questions. Childbearing, child upbringing, your job, your career, your business, your finances. Life will always ask questions. Life will always ask questions. Never forget that. And so when I see Christians who are unserious with the important things, my heart bleeds. If you're here this morning and you're unserious with spiritual things, make a decision in this service to repent and act differently. When I mean repent, I'm not saying religiously, oh God forgive me. No. To repent means to change your mind. Metanoia. To change your way of thinking. Is somebody listening to me? To change your way of reasoning. To turn in your mentality. In your reasoning. Because listen, the questions of life will come. The questions of life will come. And they are not going to look at, oh, are you anointed? Were you born into a Christian home? Do you love the Lord? Irrespective of that. Is your name Jesus? If you like, give yourself the name Jesus. Jesus of Joss. The questions of life will come. This is serious. The questions of life will come. Definitely. They come to preachers. These questions come to evangelists. They come to apostles. They come to prophets. They come to pastors. No exemptions. But the important thing is how equipped you are to answer life's questions. And the only weapon we've been given, or one of the major weapons we've been given, is the word of God in our hearts. The word of God in our hearts. When the challenges come, the word of God in our hearts is what will go out. So when, as a believer, you don't give attention to the things of the Spirit, you don't give attention to the word of God, you will not be able to answer life's questions when they come. And that's why many Christians want the fire brigade approach. And it looks as though God is wicked, or as though God is not answering their prayers. It's not true. It is unwise to prepare for battle in the day of battle. You get ready before the questions come. You incline your ears. You attend to his word. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Keep them before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Don't let them depart from your eyes.
for their life. Can you see? Their life. Their life. Their life. To those that find them. And mapei, it means something of therapeutic value. Medicine. To all their flesh. That's Proverbs chapter 4. Read from verse 22, 23 downwards. They are life. Make a decision to be a believer who values the word of God in his heart. Because life's questions will come. And the unconscious response will be the word of God in your heart. Never be too busy for the word of God. Never be too busy to have that personal interaction with the word of God. You know, I say it all the time. You see, we can all be in the ministry. The word of God is being taught. We are laboring together to harvest the nations, the city, the nations, to affect our generation. I tell people, in the next 10 years, it's sad, but it happens. You see those that are flying. In the next 5 years, you see those that are flying in career, in business, in ministry. And you see those who were together with them attending the same church. And things are not working for. Is God wicked? No. Is God unrighteous? No. Is God showing favoritism? No. Most times when you investigate deeply, you see that that personal interest and interaction with the word of God was not there. We can all come to church. But when you make it, a man of God once said that decision determines destiny. When you make that decision, he says, look, I'm going to know this God for myself. And then you engage on a heart search process. A heart deep process. There'll be a different outcome. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Never forget, the word of God in your hearts is the answer to the questions of life. They will surely come. At different seasons, they will come. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right, let's get to our text as we wrap up our teaching on boosting your faith for supernatural accomplishment. And then there will be a mighty release of the spirit of faith. I told you, for those here, those following on the internet, those that are going to watch on TV or listen to the messages, there will be impartations of the spirit of faith. I said there will be impartations of the spirit of faith. That means something will jump upon you. Something will jump upon you from this service. Completely your heart will be changed. Some of you that have chicken hearts, from this place you will live here with a lion's heart. You will go and confront the mountains that you thought were going to swallow you. I wish you guys would believe this morning. Something will come upon you. What you have done and done that has not worked, something will jump upon you this morning. You will leave this service, you go to confront them and have a different result. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You will go to confront them and have a favorable outcome. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Because in this service, the spirit of faith is going to come upon you. That same spirit, Kalabokosuta, that same spirit that was upon Jesus, that made everything look possible to him, is going to jump upon you this morning. I don't know how many of you believe, but I know testimonies are going to pop up from this service. Or people hearing something and saying, Kai, I was in church on 25th of March. Something happened to me in that service. And this thing you are seeing is a result of that impartation. This thing, this and this and this that's happened is a result of that impartation. That will be somebody's testimony. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I don't want you to listen like you listen to a lecture this morning. Listen with the hunger for impartation. We are not lecturers. We are preachers of the word of his grace. We are not lecturers. When we speak, we release impartations.
We turn lily liver to lion hearts. Glory to God. And by now you know that daring things, doing significant things, as far as your destiny is concerned, requires a lion heart. You can never separate courage from the equation of faith. Never. You can never separate courage from the fulfillment of divine destiny. Never. Some people tell you they are waiting for God. God has not spoken. The truth is they lack courage. It's not because God has not spoken. They lack courage. And that is the gap that the spirit of faith comes to fill. Once it jumps upon you, you can do anything. You take crazy steps. Listen, nobody has signed to help you, but you have a helper within. Do you understand? I don't care what the vision is. You may not have man by your side, but you have a helper within. Are you listening? And listen, we call him helper because he does not initiate. You will initiate. Is that not what the helper does? A helper doesn't initiate. You initiate, then he comes to help. So you will leave this place and go. Some of you, where you are now is not where you ought to be. Some of you are supposed to be handling things in tens of millions now. Tens of millions now. Stop playing and stop feeling young. 2019 election, some of you are supposed to contest. But your heart is cutting you. You know how it's cutting you? Fear. In Nigerian palace, I say, liver is failing you. The spirit of faith to jump upon you. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. I say, the spirit of faith is jumping upon you. It's jumping upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's read from verse 5. And beside this, that's 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're reading 5 to 8, okay? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So knowledge, what? Temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8 and the last says, for if these things be in you and abound, then make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the word of God. The clarity is second to none. He gave us a list of faith boosters. And he tells us that if these things be in you and abound, then make you. You are not the one to try to make yourself. Your job is to make these things be in you and abound. He says, then make you. That you shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Meaning your knowledge of God. Now, it is the knowledge of God that got you born again, true of us. But that's a level. From the day you got born again until now, you have learned one or two things, right? You've learned the word of God one way or the other. He's saying, for your knowledge of God's word not to be unfruitful. Because there are Christians who have a barren life and they have been Christians. Meaning, their knowledge of God is unfruitful. He's saying, if these things be in you and abound, then make you. He started by saying, giving all diligence. So diligence is a basic requirement. And we handled that last week, I believe. He now said, add to your faith. Add to your faith. If faith alone was enough, you tell it to add to your faith. Meaning this thing is just like making a goosey soup. You grind a goosey soup, you put it on the pot, you add water. That's if you just put it, you say, I want to eat a goosey soup. The name is called what? A goosey soup. You grind a goosey itself, put it on the fire, and then start burning. Are you going to have a goosey soup? You don't have it. You have a black burnt thing. Because a goosey soup got
Oh, Shebaka. God supplements. Can I get an amen? The same thing with faith. So faith is the main thing we are talking about. But they're saying, just like you will not just boil only a goosey, you will add one or two things to make it tasty, so that you can serve it, which is your end result. The same vein, your faith needs this one or two things to be productive and effective. And it started by saying diligence. I mean, define what diligence means. We talk about intensity and quickness. Intensity and quickness. He says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? Meaning a guy who is skillful. It also means skillfulness. Who is skillful? Who is intense in his engagement with that thing? And who is quick? Meaning in the class of diligence, procrastination does not stay. There's a quickness. There's a sharpness. You say you're going to read this book, you are quick about it. You say you're going to make this call, send this email, you are quick about it. Are you listening? So three things about diligence: skillfulness, quickness, and intensity. Glory to God. Is it after your faith? Virtue. And we talked about what virtue is. We said moral excellence and stamina. Amen. Is it after virtue what? Knowledge. And I believe we discussed, we say scientific knowledge, and we discussed extensively last week. How many of you were blessed? We were challenged last week. Talked about the world knowledge. There is no revelation knowledge. It's scientific, natural knowledge of what you do. It enhances your faith. Alright? And outer knowledge what? Temperance. I believe we discussed temperance. We say zengratia. It means to hold yourself in. Yeah, self-government. Amen. And then from there, I believe we spoke briefly about patience. Amen. But let me still establish this. I define what faith is at the beginning of this series. I told you that faith is any thought, words, or action. Response in thoughts, in words, or in actions to a revealed truth, right? Response in thoughts, words, or actions to a revealed truth. Meaning, when truth is revealed, your response to it is faith. We say the guy who says from scriptures that the hand of the diligent shall be a rule. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and other men. And then he sees that and decides to be diligent. He's in faith. Is somebody listening to me? The person is in faith. So faith is acting on God's word. Faith is obedience. Or doing the word. Let me know it's obedience. Doing the word and obeying God's instructions. Are you listening to me? That's what faith is. And the more you act on the word, the more your faith grows. You know, jokingly, we used to say this. Here, we have teachings on tithing. We believe in tithing. We believe in giving. We believe in first fruits. But yet, there are people who come around who hear us talk about first fruits. Listen, everybody listen to me. I'm speaking under the authority of God. When you graduate from school and you start working, your first salary is not for you. Neither is it for your father or for your mother. Did you hear what I said? Leave scriptures. Leave the word of God. What's the big deal? Just a month. You are not to pay tithe on it. You are to give it completely. It's not yours. It's called first fruits. We are not telling you what we didn't do. Are you listening? As a young man, my first salary was about, you see, 160, 100 and something thousand years ago. As he was coming, my dad already knew that it's not for him. I packaged it and sent it to my pastor. Are you listening? Yes, the first corpus alawi, as he was giving to me, I packaged it and sent it to God. The first work I began to do after NYC, first salary, I packaged it and gave it to God. Is somebody listening to me? When you decide to act differently, it's not profitable for you. Yes, no, we see people graduate and act as though they didn't hear these things. And Do you know if anything you ever give, whether I give to a beggar on the road or to the poor, do you know it's to your account? You will never do the receiver a favor. Mm-mm. Every giver is doing himself a favor. Every giver is doing who? Himself a favor. And if you lack the discipline to say, to do what God says, you put a ceiling on your progress. Glory to God. Don't talk about the first of the new, the first of the year, and all that. I know there are people that say it, I don't know what they are saying. They want to use rationale to explain scriptures. Don't live in that arena. Learn to respond to the word of God. Learn to respond to the word of God. I've been doing festival before I became a pastor. Do you understand? Meaning every first major money I get, apart from all this category I gave you, every first major money I get in a year, I send it to a prophet. I send it to my prophet. First major, meaning if the first money is small, that is not it. Amen. I keep it and I let it accumulate until I started setting targets. Do you understand? Because I was not doing salary work. Amen. Started from when I was still a student. Do you understand? Glory to God. Is somebody listening to me? You see, when you see preachers telling you to do things like this, it's not because of you benefiting them. Get it? The moment you talk about giving, an average Christian who is untaught thinks of the pastor's shoe. I mean, let's leave that nonsense. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody getting blessed? I can't hear you. Somebody getting blessed? He said, honor your father and your mother. For this is the commandment. Is it with promise? When you see it, faith is responding that way. Meaning that your dad has a contrary opinion doesn't mean you should insult him. Oh, am I talking to someone? That your mom has a contrary opinion doesn't mean you should insult her and disrespect her. You make your own opinion known and do that respectfully. Why? There's a revealed truth. That honor for those that brought you forth has a blessing attached. Let me tell you, progress on this earth is tied to one word, understanding of honor. As long as you live, never forget that. If that is the only key you know in life, you will succeed. Honoring God, honoring men. Honor. You know the whole about tithe, first food, offering in church, giving. Do you know what it's about? Honor. 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 Glory to God. Why are we again squeezing money to put in the offering basket? God is not a Nigerian policeman. Honor. Honor. Very important. Honor. There are three laws that govern giving. I told you before. Number one, faith. Number two, love. Number three, honor. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Let's get into God's word. I'm sure that instruction is for a few persons. Let's get into God's word. Let's get into where we were. We said add to knowledge. What? Temperance. Talk to me now. Temperance what? Patience. All right, we'll continue from patience. What is patience? What is patience? So the Bible is telling us that patience is a supplement of faith. To be patient doesn't mean to receive, to take whatever comes your way. That is not patience. There's a difference when we mention any term, any word. There's always the human definition of it. And there is the scriptural definition of it. For example, when we say wisdom, there's the human wisdom. There's the way men define wisdom. They think it's human cleverness and craftiness. But when we get to the arena of God's kingdom, the definition of wisdom is different. Glory to God. The same thing with patience, the same thing with hope. The same thing with love. Have you noticed that every major word has human definition and God's definition? When you mention love, there's a way humans think. When you say love, sex comes to their mind. In fact, they have termed sex making love. You can imagine. Oh Jesus. That's why when you build your life around earthly theology and ideologies, you are sunk. You can't define terms based on what movies tell you, what soap operas tell you, what the newspapers tell you. You can do that. Every term must be defined God's way. So what's patience? When you say patience to a human is long suffering in human terms. It's whatever comes my way, I'll take it. No. That's the human or the religious sense. Bible patience means to be constantly consistent with the things that you have believed until you see physical manifestations. Is somebody listening to me? To be constantly steadfast. To be consistent, to hold fast to the things you believe, even when it's not making sense yet. And you stick with it till manifestations come. I'm going to show you amazing scriptures. It is a character of being constant, consistently consistent on what you believe, irrespective of outward pressures. Patience is a tool into faith. Without it, your faith can never be fully matured. Meaning, when you don't understand Bible patience, you can never have mature faith that produces results. And it means to stand your ground on the things that God has told you, on the things that you have believed, on the things that your heart has been convinced and established in, until you see manifestations. So you are not changing your ground. Paul says, I know whom I believe, and I'm fully persuaded. So, that kind of attitude will produce patience. Glory to God forevermore. Our faith produces results with patience. Give me Luke chapter 8 verse 15. Very powerful. I'll start from there. Our faith produces. I know we live in a jet age. I know we live in the age of information and technology. The age where everything is fast. And people want services on Sunday morning to be 45 minutes, 1 hour. And there are churches like that already. George Percy was talking about how he has decided to give himself rest from church people's stress. You know, as a pastor, you make that decision. You know, people will dribble you. You know, somebody came and told him, somebody opened church downtown, and the church is 1 hour. 1 hour every Sunday. Do you understand? Only 1 hour. Sunday morning, no cell meeting. From prayers, worship, word, everything, offerings, everything is what? 1 hour. They call it drive past church. You understand? Say quickly, we are not going to waste your time. And he said one day he had to go there. He took a drink at the McDonald's opposite and sat there. He said exactly 1 hour, service was finished. And he said some of his brethren, he had taught word that she understand. He said he saw people not coming to church anymore. Going to 1 hour service, please. Cultural defeat. I don't know how to call it. We live in a jet age where people want everything to be fast. They can sit down for 3 hours in the cinema to watch movies, but they can't sit in church for 3 hours. God, who saved you, who sanctified you, who gave you life, who gave you the air that you are breathing, on Sunday morning, you can't spend 3 hours in his presence. Wickedness. Wickedness. The church is getting too long. You know I'm talking about patience, right? We live in a very fast world. And God is not intimidated by that fastness. Write it down. that your God is not intimidated by the jet age. So God is not going to change his methods. God is not going to change his modus operandi. God is not going to change his preferred way of operation because we are in technology age. He knew of the technology age before they came. He actually caused the technology age to start. Somebody listen to me. He's not intimidated. Now, that doesn't mean God wastes our time. That doesn't mean in church your time should be wasted. I don't believe you should be in church on Sunday service for 5 hours, except it's a special service. Are you listening? There are other meetings for that. There are camp meetings and special meetings. And prayer meetings. Glory to God. But see, God is not intimidated by the fastness. He's aware. But he cannot change his modus operandi. Your faith will always work with what? Patience. Put that Luke 8 for me. Your faith will always work with patience. The Bible shows us how the word of the Lord produces results. Even the word that falls upon the good ground, how it produces. Look at this. He said, but that on the good ground, you remember the parable of the sower? He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. This is not my prerogative today. One of these days I'll find time to deal with that expression. How the word of God produces results in the heart. He said, those with honest and good hearts, having heard the word, keep it. It means to retain. It means to stop from going out. It means retention, to keep the word. And bring forth fruit with what? Oh, I can't hear this church. With what? Patience. That means the word of God that we preach to you, to your heart, which is a good ground, is going to produce fruit with patience. With consistency. With consistency. Listen, there is, except one to do fluke, you know, fluke, to live a life and produce all by fluke. If you want to do it God's way, you will understand Bible patience. That means you deal with things with a sense of consistency. Constancy. You are declaring God's word. You are listening to messages. You are prophesying concerning certain things. You give a deadline. The time passes. It has not happened yet. You are not to give up. That's how this kingdom operates. Are you listening? And the beautiful thing is, lakebo sotokepa. Oh, whenever your faith is being tried, patience is at work. And whenever patience is at work, it's fashioning your faith. Something is happening to you. You are going to come out with more roots deep down. You are going to come out better. We are going to read it. Because most times, it's not because God cannot give the speedy manifestation. It's about our capacity to handle what we want him to do. Because listen, every blessing comes with special devils. Never forget it. Everyone, oh, every new level, oh my goodness. Every promotion comes with a different level of demonic confrontations. That is the truth. David was doing very well. The Philistines did not hear. They didn't see anything. The Bible said, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed as king, they came. And they came with their gods, with idols. Why? They heard that David had been promoted in ranking. He has been promoted on the throne. The Bible said the Philistines came. I'm very aware. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. As we explode and have more influence. That's why I say, the higher you go, the more spiritual you become automatically. You don't need to try. You know. You know. You know. What the devil's after you, they are more. I've told you before, as you are now, there are demons that don't know you. Why should they know you? Who are you? But when you begin to rise, say, which light is shining like that? Who is that? cutting a deal like that? They saw that their agent was trapped and was defeated by you. I got a contract of 1.2 billion because you did fasting and prayer and communion and prophetic word. And you think they will not come? They will come. But you see, God will prepare you such a way that when they are coming, you are ready. Why? Asheba kapaya. Your faith, the trial of your faith has put patience to work. And while patience was working, you were getting cooked on the inside. God was developing you. Taking out the things that ought not to be there. You were listening and making adjustments. Is somebody here? You are listening and making adjustments. Somebody said, it is in, you learn a lot when you are still pressing. Amen. He said, in abundance, you don't really learn plenty like that. Learning has to be more deliberate. Because something tells you that you are good, you are the bomb. I mean, you handle your contract of 1.2 billion. Your cutting in is about 400, 400, 500 million. Are you kidding me? And you are 28 or 32? You have to be deliberate to be able to lend. Everything is working. You tell yourself, I've entered my rest and I've ceased for my labor. But you see, look at what the Spirit of God does. Before that comes, there are things you will go through that will make you treat the 400 million naira as dust in your heart. In your heart. You have dealt with it. You know that if God makes a demand on these resources, I will submit it. And you are not pretending. God and you know. Is somebody listening to me? Patience. He said, these guys produce results with patience. He said, they kept the word and produce results with patience. Give me Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. Now, so you see the word of God producing results, which is faith, but with patience. Look at this. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them. Who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. You are seeing that again. Faith and patience. The Greek word there means constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. That's what it means. That's what it means. So when patience is at work, you will not cast away your confidence in God's word. You will not cast away your confidence. Many believers in the face of opposition and challenges cast away their confidence. Oh, I've tried it, it didn't work. They are no more confident in God's word. No. Give me Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35. When patience is at work, as a virtue, as a supplement of faith, as a booster of faith, you will not cast away your confidence in the things that you have heard. You know, there are people that come to a point of believing that, Kai, this declaring of God's word, does it really work? Does it work again? The other time I had, the doctor said I had this, I kept confessing and declaring it did not work. I'll handle that later. But hear this. Never cast away your confidence in God's word. Never. You tried it, I looked at it, failed. Do it again. Because in your heart, be convinced that it's not a product problem. It's the user problem. Oh, somebody here. So the word of God, the Bible says, has been tried 7 times. And given to us, meaning God has proved his word. So when you say in quotes, I put the word of God to work and it did not work, know that it's not a product problem, it's a user issue. That means you as a user, the problem is with you. You didn't know the buttons to press. Oh my goodness. To get the required outcome. Have you ever bought a device so complicated and then before you know you press spoil and the thing is not working the way it's supposed to work? You know, spoil button. You press spoil. And you are wondering, but they said this should work. And then you went to their warranty office and they told you, oh, how did you do it? And they said, no, Didn't you check the manual? This and this and this is how to press. And then they pressed it and it started working. It wasn't a product problem. It was a user problem. Most times in our walk of faith, never forget this, is never a product problem. Meaning, is not the manufacturer issue. God is blameless. His word is blameless. It's our knowledge of how to use the materials that God has made available to us. Our skillfulness in using God's word. So when you have that, and it takes humility to acknowledge you. You know, there are brothers in school that because they were sick and prayed and did not get healed, they began to make theologies and saying that, listen, it's not all the time God heals. And using themselves as an example. Yes, I'm telling you what I know. One guy was telling me that, I don't understand, brother, that he prayed. He prayed. And nothing happened. He had to go and take his drugs. So I felt it's not God's will. Sometimes God doesn't answer. No, my uncle told you God was going to answer your prayer about healing. God answered the prayer about healing over 2,000 years ago. Yours is to know how to collect and appropriate it. Tap your neighbor is a user problem. And patience will help you. And patience will help you. So you begin, as you are waiting, you're consistent. You know that the word of God works. What God has spoken concerning me, these prophetic utterances, they are true. And they will work. So I'll get more into this thing. I will study around it. And I will stay consistent. That's what patience is. I will stay consistent. I will stay consistent. Is somebody here? He said, cast not away therefore your confidence. Oh God. Which has great recompense of reward. I saw this scripture many years ago. Don't cast away your confidence. The Bible says it has great recompense of reward. The Bible says, don't be weary, we're all doing. For if you faint not, you will reap. In due season, if you reap, if you faint not. That means your harvest is coming on you on duty. While you are walking it. You didn't hear that scripture. While you are walking it, you're on duty on faith. You're on duty with the word. The harvest meets you there. That means if you are not there, you're not going to reap. That's what he's saying. Glory to God forevermore. It meets you on duty. It meets you on duty. Give me the next two verses very quickly, very quickly. You see the connection of patience and faith. He said, but you have need of what? Can you see? That's the antidote. You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So faith, patience, promise. Glory to God. Be a dogged guy. You know the reason some people have not broken forth? They don't know how to stick to one thing for long. You learn to be dogged. You have stickability. That's what called stickability. The stickability of a bulldog. Has a bulldog ever chased you? Lave kofosoto. Tenacity. Tenacity. Then people got told to go and start church. They did church 1 year, 2 years, nothing happened. Say, maybe God will not come to church. Let me go back to preaching in the field. No. No. Maybe God did not call me to pastor. No. Tenacity. Listen, everything that you will blow with will take you time to stay with it. Everything. We call it the 10,000 hour rule. Malcolm Gladwell calls it the 10,000 hour rule. And they gave instances. And when you meditate in scriptures, you know it's true. Why is he telling you not to be weary with well doing? He said, because there's a tendency to be weary with well doing. He said, don't be weary. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. You may be singing, you've been singing and singing and rapping, try this contract, you know what? Keep on it, oh, and keep praying the Holy Ghost and be sowing your seed. One day, you may be performing in the presence of five persons. And listen, that's why you should not reduce your standard because of the audience. Oh, is somebody here? Never do that. Because you may not know who is in the audience. You may not know. I say, I'm just singing. How many people are here? Okay. No. You stand before them. You sing as though you are singing to a million people. You rap as though you are rapping for a million people. Are you listening? You pour your soul to it. Because really, you may not know who is in the audience. And it's true. It's a great life lesson. consistently, faithfully. Don't worry, soon you will soon blow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know somebody is getting something. Faith works with patience. Is he yet a little while? He shall come and he shall not tarry. Next verse, look at this. Look at this. The faith scripture. Now the just shall live by faith. So it's connecting it to faith. He said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Are you listening? Don't learn how to draw back. Hold God's word. The Bible talks about holding it as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawns and the death star arises in your hearts. That's how to fulfill destiny. You hold unto God's word as unto a light that shines in the dark place. You know what that means? There is darkness around, but at least there's a little light you're holding onto. And he said, don't worry, the day will soon dawn. Hey, yeah. And the day star will arise in your hearts. And the day star will arise in your heart. And the day star will arise in your heart. Brothers and sisters, can you hear what I'm sharing with you? Patience is a partner to faith. Learning consistency. No, here you are. God has told you that this is your church. Because somebody insulted you, you say you are changing church. Are you not carnal? And I told you the other day, you don't live at that right now. You have signed for failure if you live like that. Acting because of human behavior around you. Are you kidding me? That's a low level of life. Let a man slap you, you will still be there. The same thing when you know that you have to serve in a company. In an organization. Please, you know, it's not all the time it's salary you look at. Are you listening? Number one, you must know what God told you. Number two, what are the visions in your heart? Worse still, there are those that respond based on offenses. I say, why should the guy talk to me about? Don't you know I'm a firstborn in my house? Firstborn. They don't talk to me like this at home. Oh, guy, he pays you, so he talk to you anyhow. Don't get offense. Sometimes you stay there. You keep learning. Because in your heart, you know you are supposed to be there. I remember years ago, maybe almost 20 years ago, my dad wanted to leave a job where he is now. He's almost retiring. They were not treating him well at all. For some reasons, he decided to stay. And like the dream of the night, everything changed in that organization. It's a federal parastatal. Everything changed. Until they started receiving newspaper allowance, you understand? Wardrobe allowance, furniture allowance. They trained them, paid them wonderful salaries, and everybody wants to work there now. What am I saying? Sometimes patience is required. Consistency and constancy. Glory to God. Learning to stick to God's word. Reverend Chris Akilimu will say, if you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. If you stick, that's the word, stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. Don't leave a ministry because you have not found a husband yet. You say, there are just small boys in this church. Me, I need a husband. Do you know how old I am? And by the way, they are not small boys in this church. Hallelujah. No, I'm getting practical now. There are people that have left church because of husband. Do you know? I say, man, pastor, we love your preaching. We'll be listening to your message. But I need to get married. Is that not to be where people that can marry me can see me? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Sometimes may just stay. Follow what God has told you. God will give you beyond your imagination. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Give me 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Very quickly. Oh God. I'll preach from there one of these days. Oh God. I have a lot. First Thessalonians, very fast. Very fast. I need to be fast. And then we'll hit James 1, 3 and 4. He said, remembering without ceasing. Oh my goodness. Hey. I don't want to get distracted from this scripture. I can preach a whole series from here. It talks about the walk of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. That's a message. The walk of faith. That means faith is always active. The labor of love. That means when you get to the arena of love, it is laboring. It's not convenience. Oh. Now he talks about the patience of hope. The patience. What's hope? Hope are pictures. Hope are pictures. Hope are pictures. Every vision God gives you is a hope. And it talks about the patience of hope. Meaning there's a consistency, a constancy, a steadfastness, a perseverance required to fulfill God's vision for your life. You will walk to people that should have helped you, that you thought should have helped you. You will go to their office, talk to them, they sound like they're going to help you. You leave there, they backstab you and not help you. The patience of hope. Are you going to throw in the towel because of that? No. You say, I will dream again. I will go somewhere else. You must have a resilience. Resilience. Are you listening? The walk of faith. We'll do that. We'll preach from there. The walk of faith. The labor of love. And the patience of hope. I told you, there's a teaching anointing upon our ministry. There's a teaching. We don't look these things up from the internet to come and preach. Do you understand? There's a teaching anointing. I told you about the three predominant anointings and offices that guard this ministry. The teaching anointing, the pastoral anointing, and the apostolic anointing. Is somebody listening to me? So, what do we talk about the teaching anointing? We talk, a teacher brings revelation. And that breaks them down into assimilable forms. So you sit down and your doubt is dissolved. You sit down and the spirit of understanding comes upon you. Glory to God. So I'm a teacher and I magnify my office. Glory to God. The work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and His brethren. Very quickly, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Quickly. Oh. I wish I had the time to read the hupomone, the Greek word for the steadfastness, for the patience for you. I wish I had the time. Maybe on Tuesday before I go into the teaching. And by the way, we are doing the series Kalavaya. See, if you are here and you don't come for Tuesday service, hear the way they are shouting. You don't miss Tuesday. Don't miss this Tuesday. That's where we teach the word of God with simplicity and power. We are going through the book of Hebrews. And we are still in chapter 1, but it's explosion already. It's explosion already. Correcting errors, bringing balance, and unveiling truth and light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, so that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you may endure. Now, let me tell you something. In life, the offenses is not just toward God. I'm sorry, it's not just towards men. You can be offended at God. And I think it was 3 Sundays ago, I said something like that briefly. I'm hoping to have time to deal with it extensively. Maybe I'll share on the anatomy of offense. And then dissolve offense. Because see, what has left many people paralyzed is offenses. Offenses. Some have stepped out of their destiny because of offense. The Bible says offense must come. in this world, offense must come. But the most important thing is your response to the offense. Are you going to choose to get offended or choose to walk in love? You'll be offended at your pastor, at your prophet, at your leader, at your parents. Offense will come. You have opportunity rather to be offended. But you will choose to live beyond offense. I made that decision years ago. I can never live in the realm of offense. No. So tribulation is what life hands to people. And when men are faced with tribulation, their offense is toward God. Persecution is what comes from men to you. And that creates opportunity to be offended at men. But Paul says, in this do I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Can you see? Paul did not just say voice of offense towards man. That means there was opportunity for him to be offended at God. And that's because of tribulations. Sometimes life will throw you a curved ball. And you're wondering, God, where are you? Curved ball. You're wondering, God, where are you? That's tribulation. It gives you opportunity to be offended at God. But you make a decision. And be like Paul. What is the exercise? He said, I exercise myself in this. To have a conscience that is void, empty of offense toward God and toward man. That means I made a decision not to be offended at God, no matter what life throws at me. And not to be offended at men, no matter what men do to me. People come out, this person said this about, I don't care. Honestly, when I even see the people, I forget. Honestly, I forget. It cannot change my response to them. At least not in a public space, not in my heart. Do you understand? I can stop them from being in my close circle, my inner circle, because the fact that I walk in love doesn't mean you should be stupid. The Bible says, show love with discretion. If there is an Absalom around you, you can't let him to your inner circle. You love him from afar. That's Selah. Glory to God. Alright, give me James chapter 1 from verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. Oh boy. Your faith, oh God. Shebala kapaya dabaya. He said, knowing this, I'm only to pay close attention. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh God. Meaning, when your faith comes under trial, patience is employed. And patience has a ministry in structuring your faith for results. That's what he's saying. Patience has a ministry in fashioning your faith for results. In making your faith fit. Because the Greek word is about fitness. It means to make something fit to perform. That means when patience goes to work, it makes your faith fit to perform. Kenneth Hagin said, when a man has made a decision to stand on one point until the change happens, he said, it don't take long anymore before he has what he desires. Meaning when he takes a stand, it don't take long anymore. But when you are here and there, you are not sure, should I not, would I? The Bible says you're unstable and you can't receive. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Next verse. He said, but let patience have a perfect work. Can you see? Some people are not letting patience work. You are not letting patience do her work. You are not letting patience do her work. This year I must be married. Then it's October. Nobody has come. He said, this year I say I must be married. And God is bringing your attention to certain things and you're not paying attention. What you can see is any man to marry. So a man comes in your heart, you know that this is not your husband. He cannot be your husband. With the investment that God has made in you, that cannot be your husband. But you are not letting patience complete her work. Can I talk to someone? You let patience complete her work. You let patience complete her work. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. That ye are kebalabakabalabukusuta. He said, that ye may be
perfect and entire.
Wanting a sebaya. Meaning when patience is done, the way you are going to come out. Hey! Hey! He says you will be perfect and entire. The Greek word entire is holokleros. It means to be whole. To be complete. It means no amputated parts. Just like you say, oh, this person is pure, complete. No defects. It means to be devoid of defects. That means every time you let patients have a full course, you will come out complete and whole. You will come out perfect and entire. Wanting nothing. You are mature. Some things you are not bargaining for happen to you in the process. Are you listening? Am I talking to someone? Patience is a twin to faith. He said, don't be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He said, these are they that receive the word into a good ground. He said, they received the word with a good and honest heart, that kept it and produced results with patience. You have done your part, you have prayed, you are still praying, fasting, studying God's word, sowing your seed, and the manifestation has not come. Be consistent. Continue. The cloud will soon be full of water. He said, for if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. They empty themselves. I don't know what you're asking for, what you need for the next phase of your life. But I know this message is for someone. Let patience have a full course. Let patience have a full course. When your faith is tried, let patience come in to work. Employ patience. And then let the patients walk. Amen. You know, I went to a leadership school and they were taking us a course on project management. And they said the 10 commandments of project management. And they said the tenth one is, let the project manager do his or her work. He said, allow, don't no interference. So let patients do her work. That she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Has somebody learned something this morning? You know, it's doing me like if I stop at this, in this series, something has happened to you. Something has happened to you. Consistency. The same thing with being part of church. Learn to stay in a church like this where the word of God is being taught you until something happened to you. Don't be jumping from place to place. Don't be jumping from place to place. It takes time for things to happen to you in the place. Do you understand? Have staying power. Don't be an unstable person. I've never liked it. Patience. Patience. Glory to God. You come to church, say, I pass over with you. Then the people on Facebook, they are looking at pictures of another church. You are there in front like this. You are not a con. You be a dependable, consistent person. Be a dependable, consistent person. Do you understand? Be a dependable, consistent person. It's funny, right? But people do it. Traveling evangelists. Don't be like that. Glory to God. Quickly, let's wrap up. I have 7 to 10 minutes left. He said, add to patience. Go back there. Add to patience what? I believe is godliness. Godliness. And add to patience, godliness. Godliness is piety. Godliness is it's piety. It means to exercise piety and true religion. Or in general sense, to have a pious life and a life which is morally good. It means living a life amongst men that honors God. I'm talking about godliness now. Listen, you know, Christianity is not a religion, but there is religion in Christianity. Let me say that again for 21st century Christians. Christianity is not religion, but there is religion in Christianity. James said it now. He said pure and undefiled religion. Visiting the orphans and helping the widows or something. The fatherless. Is it good and pure religion? It was Christians. But Christianity in entirety is not religion. What am I saying? The concept of godliness is outward. Even though it's coming from the heart. Do you understand? It's the outward expression of the transformation that has happened in your hearts. And it is deliberate. It means to be morally upright. It means to have a life of piety amongst men. As a Christian, there's a piety that we must have. A Christian should not be rowdy. A Christian should not be unruly. A Christian should not be careless with words, with talking, with actions. You can't be on the road and smoke till you pull your shirts. You want to fight. Exercise temperance. Do you understand? Yes, there's a time to do that. Hope you know. And do it with wisdom. Amen. You are standing with your mother and somebody slaps her. Or you went out with your wife and somebody raised his hand or her hand towards your wife, or not slap, towards. Towards. God. That day you sleep behind somewhere. You will sleep somewhere. I will pay the policeman. That's after beating you. With the anointing. Amen. You know, some people think Christianity is, oh no, honey told the other chick. You should be beating. Amen. Or you are somewhere and some people are trying to beat your pastor. Hey. They are trying to harass. Not even beto. They are trying to harass your pastor. They are trying to harass your pastor. Who are you? Wait. Hey. Amen. You know something happened. I heard something that happened. Amen. Alright, hold on. I heard something that happened. I think it's Port Harcourt. The great man of God in Port Harcourt. You know all these funny people that cook up things about men of God to say. One was sponsored to say rubbish about the pastor. So some of the guys in church probably drove in convoy, went there. I said, you will get missing. you will get missing. You will be missing forever. If you ever proceed with this, you will miss. Do you understand? So it's not, let me tell you, Christianity is a higher cult. Are you aware? I must have a mafia thinking. Do you understand? Not that they are misbehaving around and then you are just quiet. There are people you can't insult close to me. That their friendship is terminated. Terminated indefinitely. Talking anyhow about people that have fed me, that have strengthened my faith, that I see as father figures in the faith, we can never be friends. We can't. Well, how are we going to be the friends? We can't be friends. He said, let's be honest. All these men will go and they are calling names. We can never be friends. Glory to God. Is somebody hearing? Is somebody listening to me? So I was talking about godliness. How that a man of God should not fight outside. How that a Christian should not just quickly pull. But I gave you a balance. Amen. Are you listening? But not everything. Piety. Godliness. And this covers for dressing. Decency when you dress. Decency where you dress. Listen, when we talk about these things, we are not going into legalism. There are people whose understanding of grace means that when you address practical things, they say, oh, you are being legalistic. People should grow. One of the ingredients for growth is instruction. Go and read your Bible. An instruction is a New Testament word. Is it the scripture is given for edification, exhortation, comfort, instructions in righteousness? Are you listening? So when I address a sister, you can't dress like that. You don't tell me I don't understand grace. Your head is not correct. You are the one who doesn't understand grace. Do you understand? Is somebody following me? It's part of the godliness package. So when you are corrected for doing something wrong, don't say it's legalism. You are being ungodly. And we are calling your attention to how you should do things. You are cohabiting with a man, a woman you are not married to. And we call your attention. We don't believe in cohabitation. Go and pay bride price and marry. And then you are acting like, oh, we are not being sensitive. We are not being sensitive. We are trying to cage you. That's ungodliness. Do you understand? Godliness is piety. Outward piety. Showing people that you represent a kingdom that is superior to this kingdom by the way you act among them. That's what godliness is. And the Bible is saying that you add godliness to your faith. Are you listening? You add godliness to your faith. You don't defraud people. It's ungodly to change figures in your office, to give bribe on the road, or in the secrets, or in the office. It's ungodly. So he's saying, add godliness to what you do. The hall has gone quiet. Oh, I got you exactly where I wanted. Add to patience what? Godliness. Is somebody learning something? Is somebody learning something? Is somebody learning something? Quickly put Titus 2, 13 and 14 for me. It's part of what we add to faith. Your show of the glory life as it relates to morality. That's godliness. Your show of the glory life as it relates. You know, on campus, people do a lot of funny things. Campus pastors do a lot of funny things. A lady is sleeping in the room overnight with somebody. And he says he's a pastor. And he says there's nothing wrong with that. He should be slapped. That's on God. Does he have his own Bible? Does he have his own heaven? Godliness. 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 Those of you that knew me before I got married, you knew me. You know what I mean? You knew me. Godliness. A lady doesn't visit me at home alone. As a single guy. Do you understand? And by rule, ladies were not cooking for me. By rules. All this. Has pastor eating? This person in charge of pastors. Welfare stops in church. Nobody does welfare to my house. Eh? Martha ministry. Nobody did welfare to my house before I got married. Are you listening? And was it deliberate? Yes. It was very. I lived among men. And I was conscious about my testimony among them. Are you listening to me? I was conscious about my testimony among them. What is all these young pastors? They're just hanging around with females and saying they are doing ministry. No. Listen, let me tell you something. The display of life of someone that will represent God is very important. Because there are people that will receive you first before they receive your message. They'll receive you first. Are you listening? Before they receive your message. Listen, there are people that believed in the grace message because I'm preaching it. And they knew me way back. I said, Kai, that means, Kai, let's hear this. Because this guy has, there's a way he was even when we were in school. Do you understand? Not being lewd, loosed, simple as Sam will put it. Godliness. Piety towards men. Have you put it up? He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Next verse 14. I've just meant to look at it and keep your eyes on it. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for what? Of good works. That means once you are born again, there's something in you that wants to do good. Fuel it. That's what I'm saying. Fuel it. There's something in you, except you're not born. No matter how rash you were before you got born again, no matter how ungodly, untamed you were before you got born again, that seed of God in you always wants to do good. And these instructions and what I'm teaching you is going to help you give expression to it. Do you understand? It's already in you. The whole godliness, patience, everything we're talking about, do you know it's already in you? It's already in you. It's to give attention to them and to fan them into flame. Patience is in you. It's to develop and cultivate it. Godliness is in you. It's to develop and cultivate it. We're not saying you become a superstar morally. No. We're saying as much as it depends on you, keep working on it. Do you understand? Don't just let things be. And I'm not talking about religious pride here. No. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Zealous unto good works. And then I think second to the last is add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, love. Brotherly kindness is, the Greek word is Philadelphia. Philadelphia means the love of brothers and sisters. The love between brothers and sisters. Oh. It's the love that shares. That sharing love. That love that should exist between believers. Listen, there's a kindred spirit that we must have. There's a kindred spirit that we must have. You must learn to relate with your brothers and sisters in Christ with a special love. Meaning when they need things, you give them. That's brotherly love. It's a love that shares. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's an ignorant of faith. So somebody comes and we need something. You have lots of clothes and not use it. You should be sensitive to see those who have not attained yet. Those who don't even have what you call old. And they are in the same church. You know one of the beauties of church? One of the amazing thing about church is that a CEO of a multinational company can sit next to a security man and a janitor. And some don't know how to make use of that. Some abuse it by begging. Say, is that the CEO I'm saying? Oh, God, I forget 20,000 for there. That's abuse. No, and these things happen. Or taking advantage of them. Glory to God. But whichever way, there has to be sharing. There has to be sharing. Brotherly love. There are things you should not say about your brethren. Not because of agape, because of Philadelphia. You must learn to cover yourselves up. Do you understand? Not broadcast the weaknesses of you, the weaknesses of your brethren. No. It's called brotherly love. Kindred spirits. When you hear that Christians in Yobe State have been persecuted, what happens to you? Philadelphia. What happens to you? Do you feel, these wicked people. Is well with them. We thank God. I need to locate to Lagos self. This just is too close to the north. Is that what you say? No, that's how people live. You relocate to Lagos. You think Lagos is safe? If Paris came under fire, anything can happen anyway. But where we are, we preserve. By the anointing of God's Spirit. Are you listening? Kindred, when you hear things like that, your heart should go out. And then you lead prayer of intercession in your closet. Lord, I pray for my brethren in Yobe State that in the name of Jesus, the angels of God are released to preserve them, to comfort and succor them. Those that have lost loved ones, they are comforted by the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for all of them. Angels are deployed to protect them in their houses, in their meeting places, in their congregations, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for Christians in Egypt. Kindred spirit, when you watch that this and this happen to them, there must be a kindred spirit. That's Philadelphia. It boosts your faith. Glory to God. I don't have much time to dwell on that, but take note of a few things I say. Do good, especially to those who are believers. Somebody say, no, we should treat everybody the same now. Why should you show favoritism to those that are Christians? You don't know your Bible. Give me Galatians 6. Very quickly. The Bible says you err because you know not the scripture, not the power of God. Galatians 6:10. You have to practice it, not argue with it. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto how many men? All men. That's the general instruction. So do good unto, but there's an especially. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So you show favor first to your brethren of your household. Do you understand? Before you extend it outside. It's in the Bible, oh. He said, they are not diligent people. They are Christians who are diligent. So look for them first. Before you give your money to those that will use the money to kill you. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
We must have a bias. We must have a bias to those of faith. Not be shouting competence. They are Christians who are competent. Do you understand? They are Christians who are competent. Look for them. You are giving a job in millions to someone you are not sure what you use the money to do. Don't do that. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly love. Philadelphia. Glory to God. And the last one is what? Love. Love. So you add to your faith love. Now, love is the energy of faith. Love is the perfecter of our faith. When faith is not rooted in love, it can never work. When faith is not rooted in love, it can never produce maximally. Are you writing?
Yes, sir.
Love is the energy of faith. We are taking the last part now. Love is the energy of faith. Our faith must be rooted in love. Number one, the revelation of God's love for us. And number two, our acts of love, our labor of love towards others. It sponsors. Remember, we'll talk about the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. So, love. Love. John chapter 13, verse 33 and 34. Love is the badge of the new creation. Love is our badge. When you went to secondary school, and there were many people from different secondary schools, how did they know your school? Not just the uniform. Badge. Somebody can copy the uniform, but most times the badges were different. So love is our badge as believers. He said, little children, No. Yeah? Cannot come. No. Next verse, 34. 34, 35, rather. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Next verse. He said, by this shall how many men?
All men
know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Love is our badge. When you go home today, time will not permit us. I need to wrap up now. Go and study 1 Corinthians 13. Amplified translation. Verse 1 to 8. Meditate upon it. Practice it on your spouse. Practice it on your children. Practice it on your friends. Practice it on your colleagues. Practice it on your brethren in church especially. Practice 1 Corinthians on the people you lead. On the people that are leading you. Do you understand? Practice 1 Corinthians 13. 1 to 8 on everybody around you. Meaning the next time you want to say something about someone, remember 1 Corinthians 13. How will you relate to the person? No matter what the person has done against you. And not just controlling your mouth, but first in your heart. Has your heart changed towards the person? The Bible says love, faith works by love. Meaning faith is energized by love. Meaning that's why you can see people that don't know much about scripture, but because they are given to walking in love, things work for them. I've told you, to always move to a new level, God will schedule seasons of love, When you pass your love test, you move to the next level. I believe strongly in my heart. I believe strongly in my heart that this church is entering a season of quantum leap. Hallelujah. I believe strongly in my heart that people sitting here looking at me are entering into seasons of quantum leap. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are entering season of sudden explosions. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that that is why God is has set this series, has set these teachings. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We can rise to your feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues, everyone. Begin to bless the name of the Lord for His word. Bless the name of the Lord for His word. Marabun zeshto broktile soj de parani. Lagiga suna tene bahasanaya. Shavria pasune kila sashte poradia sata. Liga brunda sushta braktila soj de parani. Liga brunda sushta. Haraba sushta porabadele devosa. Muntele de brunda sashte porabasashte poradile. Porabasashte ponde liga. Lacri sushta porabatele devosa. Speak in tongues. Mala brunda sushta proptila kapo. Hallelujah. Look up at me, everyone. If you are seated, be on your feet, except you are a nursing mother. I want to look up at me, everyone. We're going to pray in the next 2-3 minutes. We're going to pray intensely in tongues. Amen. Intensely in tongues. And as you pray that, I want you to expect impartations of the spirit of faith. Now, how many of you came here with an expectation of the next level? You came here with a burden. You came here with something you know has to be done. Some of you, before June is over. And you know that guy is like, you don't have the faith for it. Your heart is failing you. You are the person I'm talking to. We're going to pray in tongues for 3 minutes intensively. The music is going to go on. We're going to sing. A few persons will be singing. And you will pray. And as we pray, I want you to expect impartations of the spirit of faith. Where suddenly, what was carrying you, start carrying it. That thing that's been carrying you suddenly. Hey, you start carrying it. Before your eyes, mountains will become like molehills. Some of you, is a shop you need to take. You need to open a shop and you don't even have the money. It's looking so big. Suddenly, it will look so small. The faith for that project. Some of you, is marriage. You are wondering, where am I going to get this from? Some of you, is a contract you need to apply. Some of you, is a new step in your career. Some of you, is a new step in your walk with God. In your prayer life, in your spiritual walk, something will jump upon you. Shaka patalika, lekopoto, jaliga borabas, latekepos, leteprakilas, jaliga protilas kata, malaborabas, jabilasunate, maparosa. Maperobasa Maliba Kosate Horabadias Horabadelebos Maliga Borabas Shaliga Borabas Lebron de Sisha Shabula Pate. I force the doors open for you. Your size and your age inconsequential. You begin to enter where elders enter. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Kapola Mayanamai. Lift your hands. Take. Faith for the next level. 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 Shakapa. Momentum, Kalabosa. Momentum for the next level. Momentum, momentum, momentum.
Nikos. Jalagabo. Lift your hands, everyone. Lagabalalabayaraba. I don't know what it is, but I hear in my spirit. The mountains are skipping like ram before you. I hear in my spirit, the red seas are dividing before you. And you are walking upon dry ground to the other side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Faith, lift your hands up. The spirit of faith can be transferred throughout. Lift your hands. I don't know what it is that your liver cannot carry. You know you are supposed to do it. You know this is what ought to be done. Shakapa. But you have tried and tried, and as though you are not breaking it, lift your hands. Likopoto katata. I stand in the spirit. Leproskila teba shata. Repotokepa. There is the word of faith, but there is the spirit of faith. Lepokapa. Upon every hand lifted. Every hand lifted. Everyone standing in this place with hands lifted, expecting to receive. I release upon you that faith that you need for that next level. In the name of Jesus, I release upon you the spirit of faith for the next level. In the name of Jesus. Those mountains that have stood before you hitherto, suddenly they have become my molehills. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are leaving this place subduing mountains. You are leaving this place subduing mountains. You are leaving this service walking upon waters. Shagabalata sata, walking upon waters. In the name of Jesus. I see some people walking upon financial waters. Ah, financial waters. You are accomplishing things that are beyond your financial capacity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody here. The project before you is beyond your current financial capacity. But I stand here by the laws of impartations. The laws of impartations, meaning you can partner with a grace that is higher than you and produce it all. By the laws of impartation, I stand here and I bring you to a new level spiritually. I bring you to a new corridor in the spirit, a new financial corridor. In the name of the Lord Jesus, mark my words. Before your eyes, the resources will start flowing. The resources will start coming to your hands. Unhindered, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The money, the resources, the materials required will start coming. Maybe it's a diagnosis a doctor gave you, or gave a loved one in your family, that has been beyond your faith. Lift your hands. Keep your hands lifted. I stand in this place. I release upon you the spirit of faith to make nonsense of that challenge. The spirit of faith, they require faith to make nonsense out of that predicament. I release it upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will go and laugh at those mountains. You will go and laugh at those oppositions. You will go and laugh at those red seas, because suddenly they are parted before you. And you are walking upon dry grounds in the name of the Lord Jesus. For some of you, it's a new level spiritually. Yes, a new levels of anointing, a new levels of operations of the spirit, a new levels of prophetic functionings, a new level of operations in the spirit, a new level of discernment, sharpened discernment, a new level of the anointing. Lift your hands. Shakapoliata, Likoprekosketa, Leprekobatilapa. I light your faith, Kalabaya. I light your faith with a new fire from this service. In the name of Jesus, go and produce greater results. Go and produce greater results. Go and produce greater results.
Lift your hands up. There are people here, it is family obstacles. It's not just really you. But you are wondering, I don't have the required faith to get this thing done. Lift your hands up. I feel the power of God on me. Mountains before the entire family. Some of you, the family, you've had family prayers and fastings, yet nothing seemed to have happened. Shabaketeli akapata. Lepo katia kapa. Liko prakoski tapa. I come with the authority of heaven. I come with the powers of the ages to come. I come with the authority vested in the name of Jesus. Shapas keto lepos katalika lepokasia topa. Those mountains have become molehills before you. In the name of Jesus, those mountains have become molehills before you. In the name of Jesus, return with testimonies. Return with testimonies. Return with testimonies. Return with testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The anointing of God's Spirit is here. In the next 1 minute, I'm out of time. In the next 1 minute, I want you to declare that with your hands lifted. I want you to declare your utmost desire and declare it. I say, Lord, in this presence, I declare that this is done. I declare that this is accomplished. I declare that this is established. In the name of the Lord Jesus, open your mouth and pray. As you have asked. I say it is done as you have asked. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From this service, it is quantum leap. For some reason, you just jump to a new level of operation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Before I leave this place, I want to make an altar call. Please, all eyes closed. Bow your heads, everyone. Keep standing. If you are here this morning and you have not given your heart to Jesus, you are not born again, you don't have a relationship with the Lord.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewel, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.